Today, Iraqi special forces joined regular troops in the battle for Mosul, launching a pre-dawn push on the nearby town held by ISIS. That's the focus right now, clearing the many villages that ring Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, which ISIS has held since 2014. The U.S. is supporting the offensive with airstrikes and special op troops on the ground as advisors. Shia militias and Kurdish Peshmerga fighters are also on the front lines. And with them today was CBS correspondent Holly Williams. She's returned now to nearby Erbil and joins us on Skype. And Holly, where were you with the Peshmerga? What did you see today?
We were on a ridge with them about 15 miles north of Mosul. We actually overnighted up there because we knew that they were launching a new attack this morning. And that kicked off around dawn. They told us that the plan was to recapture around 27 villages from ISIS north of Mosul. And then move forward to about 5 miles from Mosul. But it was very slow going, which is something that we've seen over the last 4 days. So they were really pummeling the two villages that we could see with artillery. But ISIS was returning fire, both with light arms. They were mortaring some of the Peshmerga positions. And very interestingly, we saw two different ISIS drones from where we were. Now, we still don't know whether they were just surveillance drones or whether they were armed in some way. But certainly, as soon as the Kurdish troops saw those drones, they opened fire. I mean, just a barrage of fire. And shot them down. And I think the fact that they're so jittery about those drones really isn't surprising because two Kurdish soldiers were killed earlier this month by an ISIS drone that was loaded with explosives.
Yeah. So, I mean, there you are watching this firefight between the Peshmerga fighters and ISIS fighters in the village. And we're hearing that these villages have to be taken first, step by step, to get to Mosul. You were in one of them, Kabali. After ISIS fled that village, after the offensive started on Monday, and they'd left many of the homes rigged with homemade bombs. You spoke to a man who returned to his after being gone for 2 years to find it booby-trapped. Let's listen.
Why would ISIS put explosives in your house?
They're our enemies, he told us, and they have no mercy.
So, Holly, we're getting a sense of the difficulty here because it's not just clearing villages of ISIS, it's clearing them of what ISIS has left behind.
Right. And remember that nearly all of these villages that are being fought over at the moment were cleared of residents 2 years ago when ISIS blitzed across northern Iraq. And yet it's still really slow going. For a few reasons. I think firstly, because some ISIS extremists are willing to fight to the death. Some of them have run away. Some are willing to fight to the death. Remember, this is, you know, what many people call a death cult. ISIS is an organization that people join in many cases because they want to be, you know, a martyr to the cause. Mm. So that's who, you know, Kurdish forces and Iraqi forces are up against. And then secondly, as you just heard, in many of these villages, ISIS doesn't just flee. They leave behind these homemade bombs, homemade explosive devices, and they have to be cleared before those forces can then move on.
Well, the difference it would seem with Mosul, I mean, they might be booby-trapping Mosul as well, but there are civilians there. So what's the thinking about, you know, getting some of them out before the assault on Mosul?
Well, you know, the problem at the moment is that ISIS is preventing people from leaving. I mean, ISIS is effectively using those million or so residents. That's how many people we think are left in Mosul. ISIS is using them as human shields. Some people are making it out. You know, we've seen a trickle of people making it out and coming to refugee camps here. Let's see as this battle progresses in the next, you know, few weeks and perhaps months. It may be that we see hundreds of thousands, you know, by some predictions, even a million people pouring out of Mosul.
Yeah. And by the way, one of your colleagues, equally brave there on the front lines from CNN, talked on the very first day about suddenly seeing an ISIS fighter pop up on a ridge and yards from him have a firefight with the troops he was with. And then the ISIS fighter blew himself up. Have you seen ISIS?
We haven't. I mean, we can hear them firing at the Peshmerga positions, but that's a really interesting question. And we were actually discussing it today. We were saying it's so weird that you know, we're here reporting on this offensive against ISIS, and yet, you know, we can't see the enemy. Mm-hmm. That said, ISIS has, you know, it's an organization that's well known for its kind of slickly produced propaganda videos. And it's put some of those out in the last few days. You know, it put out one video from Mosul claiming to show that life there was kind of going on pretty much as normal, street scenes, people on the street, market stalls, that kind of thing. It also showed, you know, ISIS extremists fighting back against the offensive. But one of those videos was yet another barbaric execution video, a man that ISIS accused of being a spy. And I think that that's it's a reminder of what constitutes normal life under ISIS.
Now, we've seen that video. Thankfully, it stops right before he's shot to death. Holly, you're one of a handful of correspondents covering this from the front lines. Clarissa Ward from CNN, Mike Giglio of BuzzFeed, Orla Guerin of the BBC, to name a few of the few. You have our tremendous admiration. And I hope this isn't a bothersome question while you're doing such important work there. But last night we had the presidential debates here in the U.S. And the Republican candidate, Donald Trump, first of all, criticized once again the idea that people are telegraphing that the attack on Mosul is coming. You've made it pretty clear that in order to get to Mosul, they're going to have to take villages before Mosul. And so it's not as if there could be a secret assault on Mosul. But he also implied that there's some sort of wag the dog to this, that this was done to support Hillary Clinton's candidacy, to have this show of force in Iraq. Do you get any sense of that there?
You know, it's difficult for me to speak to that about how the decision regarding timing was made. But I would say that you know, I suppose you could argue that if the Mosul offensive is over very quickly, then that might benefit Hillary Clinton politically. On the other hand, this fight could go on for months, and it could go very badly wrong for the Iraqi forces, which presumably, you know, would not be of much benefit to Hillary Clinton. So, you know, let's see how this plays out.
Well, and you, as you said, it could go on for months. What do you do? I'm assuming you want to keep this on the radar, but we are hearing it will be house-to-house combat, searching for explosives and booby traps for months.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'll be coming in and out of Iraq over the next few weeks, months. Let's see. But I think, you know, the thing is, we don't know how long this is going to take because there are so many variables. I mean, one is, you know, the U.S. military says that it has retrained the Iraqi military over the last 2 years. The same force the same force that sort of turned tail and ran when ISIS first blitzed across northern Iraq 2 years ago. The U.S. military says it is a new army and it's ready to fight. Is that true? You know, we don't know yet. Then there's ISIS. You know, what are they going to do? The U.S. military thinks there are fewer than 5,000 fighters left. They say that some of them are already fleeing and heading across the border into Syria towards Raqqa and other ISIS stronghold. How many of them will do that? How many of them will stay and fight to the death? You know, we just don't know. And then the people of Mosul. Remember that 2 years ago, when ISIS seized the city with probably just a few hundred fighters, a lot of the people in Mosul welcomed them, cheered them on the street, celebrated, because Mosul is a majority Sunni Muslim city, and many of its residents were just fed up with the government in Baghdad, which is Shiite dominated, and they saw ISIS as revolutionaries, as heroes, as their saviors, and they welcomed them. How much has that changed? Are the people in Mosul ready to rise up against ISIS? And probably part of the answer to that question depends on who comes into the city to, you know, to liberate them.
Of the Peshmerga fighters, the Iraqi fighters, the Turks have wanted to get involved. Yeah, so we don't know endgame there. CBS correspondent Holly Williams speaking to us from Erbil. She's just returned from the front lines there outside Mosul. Holly, thank you and be safe.
Thank you.